Just imagine you buy a tomato at the market or grocery store, you get home and cut it open, and instead of seeing that classic tomato structure of pulpy chambers filled with seeds, you find solid red tomato all the way through. If you had lived in the 17th century and were able to flash forward to the present, that would be your experience, not with tomatoes, but definitely with watermelons. James Nienhuis knows about this. He studied 17th century paintings, still lifes, and focused on a piece of fruit that many of us wouldn't recognize today as a watermelon. Nienhuis teaches horticulture at the University of Wisconsin.
What you have to remember is that the vegetables that we eat today are creations by us. We selected for the colors and shapes and sizes and flavors. We're the ones who created these vegetables.
Where did watermelons grow first?
Well, they were grown in the eastern deserts of, you know, like Namibia in southern Africa, and it was really used extensively in, it's an African vegetable, really, and it was used a lot in Europe, southern Europe, and Egypt.
And
in fact, you can see it on hieroglyphics.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there any way to know if those watermelons back then tasted different?
I can look at art, and I can look at this shape and size and color, but I can't tell much about the flavor. Although there are indications that the watermelon was used as sort of a simply fermented beverage, right? So it must have been relatively high in sugars because, of course, those sugars could be converted into alcohol. And I'm sure those, you know, pyramid builders found something that would be the essential equivalent to a straw, you know, and just punched a little hole in that watermelon and then just allowed it to ferment and sucked out some happy juice.
And how much different did they look back then to today? I mean, some of these paintings, it's like I don't even recognize it as a watermelon.
Well, the pigment itself is a carotenoid. It's lycopene. And the
lycopene, like the color that we hear about in ketchup, in tomatoes.
Yeah, tomato is the other big source of lycopene. Here's the interesting thing. Carotenoids are associated with light absorption in vegetables, right? All vegetable tissues have one form of carotenoid or another. But you'd have to think to yourself, why the heck would the inside of the watermelon be red? Because to my knowledge, it's dark in there.
Right.
And the reason that it's red is because there is variation that occurs naturally in watermelons and in all vegetables. And, you know, housewives or domesticators of these vegetables saw the red ones and became enamored with it and saved those seeds. And so through the process of domestication and selection, they were able to enhance the red color, even though it has no functional purpose to the watermelon itself.
You know, I grew up in the South, and spitting watermelon seeds was just one of those rites of passage of summer. We can get into watermelon seed fights. But now there are seedless watermelons. I know environmentalists are not happy about that. What is the world doing to watermelons now, and what are they going to look like in 50 years?
They're going to be small, and they're going to be intensely red pigmented. And you're right, no seeds. There's one thing about the watermelon. You want it cool. And if you can keep it in your refrigerator, that's great. Unfortunately, most watermelons are too big, and even the ones that are smaller are round, so they kind of roll around there in the refrigerator. So I think that they're probably at some point we're going to change the shape, make it square.
Isn't it a danger to create dominant varieties and kind of forget the hardy ones that brought us to this point?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, one of the problems that we've had with vegetables over the last 25 or 30 years is that we've tended to emphasize selection for marketability, and that includes shipping. And often shipping is not associated with a lot of flavor components or quality components. Although I think plant breeders, and especially those of us who are really interested in, you know, the culinary aspects of vegetables, I think there are a lot of plant breeders who are now going back and saying to themselves, you know, we didn't pay much attention to flavor. We focused too much on disease resistance and shipability. Let's look at flavor. And I think there's going to – my prediction is that a lot of vegetables in the future are going to be – we're going to go back to flavors and textures that are more – maybe some of the heirloom varieties have.
University of Wisconsin Professor James Nienhuis telling me about how watermelons have changed over the years. James, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, sir.